Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this cold day, I guess. It's a bit gray. We got some slush over in Kingston, and I don't know if y'all noticed, but they got snow up on the mountain, but I think everybody else made it here safely through the blinding blizzard that we had over here in Rockwood, right? I have a couple of announcements. Bible study is Wednesday night over at Terry and Nora Lee's house at 5 o'clock. And we are starting 1 John. We're also doing it on the internet on our Facebook page. So if you want to join that way, you're more than welcome to. And if you want to come over to their house, I've pestered Terry enough that she's now been making sure we have snacks. Of course, Beth provided the first snacks. So Beth, thank you for setting the example, and now we have snacks all the time. So this week George is bringing the snacks. She doesn't know that, surprise. But no, I hope that you can join us. We do have a good time when we're together with our Bible study. I was going to ask Terry if she would give us an update, but I think she's out there getting stuff together, so I'll just tell you what I know. Focus Roan had a work day yesterday. I was supposed to be here, but my back was bothering me and all that kind of jazz, so I didn't get to help out so much. But they were able to get a lot of things done. The hope is that the last week of February will be whenever we can open up the clothes closet that we're doing in conjunction with them. And hopefully we'll be able to do other things as well as time goes on and we figure out what we're doing and what our niche is and all those kinds of things. So if you have any types of donations that you are trying to get rid of, you're welcome to bring them to the church here. And I know that Focus Roan could use them. They have lots of stuff, but anybody that has worked in that type of field knows that just because you have lots of stuff doesn't mean you have lots of stuff. So there's always a need. And in these times, unfortunately, there seems to be a little bit more of a need than normal. So we will have an Ash Wednesday service. It will be on Ash Wednesday, which should be the 17th. I need to look at the calendar again just to make sure, but it should be the 17th at 5 p.m. I think I've figured out how to do the imposition of the ashes without giving everybody the coronavirus. So you are welcome to come to that, and we will do our best to safely celebrate Ash Wednesday. Let me think if there's anything else. I do know of one other thing. some people wanted to put it here in the back of the bulletin. Some people's contact information that we have isn't up to date. Some people now have cell phones, but our contact information is their home phone that they no longer have, or maybe email address is funny or whatever. So if you think about it, if you get a chance, you can drop your information on a piece of paper in the offering plate or call Wanda and let her know what it is, that kind of stuff. That way, especially during this time, it's difficult to keep in touch with everybody, especially when I don't have everybody's proper contact information. So if you think yours might be out of date or whatever, just feel free to contact Wanda or drop a piece of paper with your information off in one of the offering baskets there. Other than that, I don't know of any announcements, so let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. Thank you. As you're able, please stand for our first hymn, Come Christians, Join to Sing. For those of you at home, if you have a United Methodist hymnal, it's number 158, and we will sing the first and last verses. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you are at home. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Let's see. I come with a few from over at Chevron. If you will, continue to pray for Jane, who attends over there. She's still recovering from her last, what they are still not sure is a stroke, but she seemed to be doing fairly well today. She was in good spirits, getting around pretty well, so continue to pray for her and for her sister Carol, who has some blood clots in her legs, and they said that it can take a few months for them to clear up. So just be with her, or keep her in your prayers. And then for Gene Hickey, he's been having a lot of issues with various surgeries and health-related things. And then for Lisa Thomas, who is Linda, who goes over there's niece, I believe. Linda asked for prayer for her. She didn't give any specifics, so we'll assume it's an unspoken request, but if you would keep her in your prayers. Also, Wanda seems to be doing better. She said that she's in a lot less pain than she has been, and that the place on her leg has gone down, but just continue to pray for her, if you will. And let's see, if there are any new ones that I have from them. I don't see any new ones from since last time I saw all of you. So does anyone have any requests? Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you for sharing that with us, and we praise the Lord for that information. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share with us? Keep Arville and Larry in your prayers. Arville is still having trouble with standing, I guess is the best way to say that. And Larry's kind of stressed about it as well because, you know, he doesn't feel safe leaving his dad at home, but he also has, you know, other things that he needs to do. So just keep both of them in your prayers. Fortunately, Arville hasn't broken anything, but he has been bruised up a little bit and that kind of stuff. So keep him in your prayers, if you will. And also my friend Emma, if you'll keep her in your prayers, she's had a rough time anyway, she's been fighting breast cancer and got COVID in the process, and she got over COVID, and now she's got something else going on. And so just pray for her for healing and for strength, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have many prayer requests, requests that were mentioned last week, requests that were mentioned this week. We pray that you would be in all of these situations, that you would provide comfort, strength, and healing where it is needed, that you would provide wisdom and discernment where it is needed. Lord, we thank you for the good news that Beth gave us. We pray that both her daughter-in-law as well as their granddaughter will continue to grow and they will continue to remain healthy. Lord, we ask in these difficult times that you would be with all of those who can't be with us for various reasons, whether through sickness, whether through concern about contracting or spreading the coronavirus, whether it be mental health that's being affected by all that's going on. Whatever it is, Lord, for all of those who cannot be with us today, we pray that you would be with them, providing comfort, strength, and healing. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I just remember one while we were praying. Elena was going to be here today, but she hurt her ankle, was it?
Yeah, she went on a ski trip yesterday
and hurt her ankle. So we want to make sure that we keep her in our prayers as well. I saw her post pictures of it before she... Well, you know, this is the same girl that played trumpet with her elbow broken, so, you know, it's, how? Yeah, maybe she should quit going skiing. Y'all pray for wisdom and discernment for Elena about skiing. Let's see, our next hymn, as you're able to, please stand, and we will sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, first and last verses. And for those of you at home who may have a hymnal, it's number 127. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, we have a basket here and one at the door of the narthex that you can leave your offering in. You can also give on both of our Facebook pages. And you can also mail in or drop off at the mailbox your tithes and your offerings. The mailbox is secure. It was actually so secure that I couldn't find my key for a long time, so I couldn't get into it. And then I said, Wanda, what'd you do with that key? And she said, it's in your desk. I said, well, I looked in there, and lo and behold, there it was in my desk. So it's even secure from absent-minded pastors. Also, if you happen to see Wanda and I around, you're more than welcome to drop it off here at the church. But we want to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings at this time. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare to give back with our tithes and our offerings, may we be reminded as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Paul writes, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So February is upon us, and for such a short month, we cram a lot of stuff into February. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, so, you know, we cram the Super Bowl in here. It'll be interesting to see exactly how that goes, not from a game standpoint, but from a just crowd standpoint. I saw an article that said that officials were urging people to social distance so that, you know, they didn't have a big spread. And I thought to myself, people don't even social distance at Walmart. You really think they're going to social distance at the Super Bowl? But, you know, but it'll be interesting to see how they accomplish that this year. February also has President's Day. Tomorrow is President's Day, so don't check your mailbox. I probably will anyway because I'll forget it's President's Day, but tomorrow is President's Day. Also, yesterday was Lynette's birthday, so if you haven't wished her a happy birthday and you see her, she's out with Liliana, probably because Liliana's got ants in her pants, as she normally does. You can wish her a happy birthday. If you want to give money or anything like that, I'll be able to take that for her. You don't have to worry about giving that to her. For my family, February is not the greatest month. My brother passed away in February, and my cousin, when she was 13, was hit by a tractor trailer in February, and she's still alive, but she suffered some pretty severe neurological damage and things such as that. So February isn't always a good month. Also, February is, in the United States, Black History Month. Also, February 14th is Valentine's Day, or sleep on the couch because you forgot it was Valentine's Day day. So now Mike has no excuse, just, you know, he's here. February is a short month, but it has a lot going on in it. One of the things that I wanted to talk about here in February was some of our early church fathers and mothers that we don't think about all that often, even if we've heard of them before. Today I want to tell you a little bit about a guy named St. Augustine, or if you've been to Florida, St. Augustine. His name is actually pronounced Augustine, but as Americans do, we just lengthened a few vowels and shortened a few vowels, and he became, the town named after him is St. Augustine. But it's the same person. St. Augustine was a fellow from what is now Algeria in northern Africa. And he was the bishop of a place called Hippo. I don't know if it was called Hippo because they had hippos there or what. I never actually looked to see why it was called Hippo. But he was the bishop of Hippo. That's why you see St. Augustine of Hippo usually. St. Augustine is responsible in many ways for a lot of the things that we currently as Christians believe. And what I mean by that is not that he made them up, but rather that he made them understandable. St. Augustine helped us to understand the Trinity. The Trinity has been a doctrine of the church since the beginning, but a lot of people just sort of said, yeah, okay, I believe in the Trinity. Some people didn't. There were a lot of big disagreements in the church about the nature of the Trinity and how that works. But St. Augustine made it a little bit more easily understood. St. Augustine was a great man. But St. Augustine had a problem. See, he was raised by a father who is what I call an apatheist. He's not an atheist. He's not agnostic. He just doesn't care if God exists or not. It doesn't affect him one way or the other. He converted to Christianity on his deathbed, but you know, all of his life, God didn't matter. The gods didn't matter. St. Augustine's mother was a devout Christian. And during his life was the period of time where Christianity began to be accepted by Rome and then actually made into the official religion of the Roman Empire at that time. But St. Augustine didn't want to have a lot to do with Christianity. He thought Christianity was kind of silly. You know, it's that thing that mom believes in, right? You know, mom's believing in that Jesus guy, whatever that is. And I want to go out and experience the world. So St. Augustine went out and experienced the world. He followed different philosophies. He searched around. He grabbed onto different religions, different worldviews, trying to find truth, trying to understand what was real in this world. And in his probably most famous work, Confessions, where he confesses his life, it's his autobiography, he talks about some of the things that he did, how he went and stayed with some people who were essentially hedonists. And they felt that the only goal in life was pleasure. And that under their influence, he followed after a life of pleasure and a life of leisure. St. Augustine even had a mistress, I guess you would say, who he had a child with. But he never married her. It's not to say he didn't take care of his child. He did take care of his child, but he never married her. He was into all kinds of things that you wouldn't expect the Bishop of Hippo to be into. Fortunately, he wasn't the Bishop of Hippo when he was into all those things. The story would be much different if he were, I think. But St. Augustine was, as Paul says here, or not here, but in other writings, the chief of sinners. St. Augustine didn't care about what God had to say. In fact, he was in open rebellion against God because it's silly. Why would I believe in God? At least in this God. There's other worldviews, there's other things that fit my thinking better. And then St. Augustine met a fellow named St. Ambrose. And he says that St. Ambrose was the first person that Augustine loved just because he was a lovable person. And he said that St. Ambrose was the first male figure in his life that showed him love himself, that didn't treat him any differently, that just treated him as if he had value and worth. And so eventually St. Augustine converted to Christianity, and then he became a priest, and as I say, he was the Bishop of Hippo. He wrote many great works of the faith. He helped us to understand what we believe. But I have to wonder, how would we view St. Augustine today? St. Augustine came from a wealthy family, so there's a chance that he might show up on TV today, right? He'd probably be on one of those goofy reality shows about rich people who don't have anything better to do with their time than be rich people or whatever it is they do. And he would probably be filmed doing all these goofy things. And then one day, what if he came out and he said, you know, I've converted to Christianity and I've decided to become a Christian. How would society treat him? It's funny because I've seen how society treats other people like that. They don't tend to treat them with, wow, this is a great thing. They tend to treat them with derision and mocking. Oh, he finally found religion, right? The church will say something like, yeah, okay, he became a Christian. Some people will praise God and say, thank God that he came out of that. But something about human nature, we just like to say, yeah, right, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. Even when we see it, though, we don't believe it. But Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Some of us have been Christians pretty much all our lives. We don't know what it's like to not be a Christian. Maybe some of us were Christian. You know, we grew up Christian. Maybe we had a time period where we kind of rebelled a little bit, but we didn't do a whole lot. Some of us rebelled a lot and came back. Some of us found Jesus in the depths of our sin. I remember when I was growing up, I hadn't become a Christian yet, but I was going to a youth group at I think they were in Assemblies of God. They're in McDonough where I live. The church is still there, but it's a non-denominational church now, I believe. But at the time, it was in Assemblies of God. And there was a guy there who lived in the church, actually. The church was one of those that has, it's like here, but then also has a large balcony area. And then off the two wings of the balcony, there are what would originally have been Sunday school rooms. And this guy's name was Steve. Steve lived in one of these rooms. Steve was known around town. Steve was a warlock. For those of you who don't know what a warlock is, it's a male witch. He was into black magic. Steve also sold drugs for the mafia. Steve wasn't a great guy. But then he became a Christian. And Steve told me one time, he said, you know, when I first started living in the church, right after I became a Christian, because he became a Christian in that church, and they let him live there because he didn't have anywhere else to go. He had burned all the bridges that were, you know, his former life. And he said, the police, these two police officers that were always arresting me, saw me walking around the church and they didn't know. And so they said, Steve, what you doing around this church? Because, you know, they thought he was breaking in to steal something. And he told them that he was living there. And, of course, they were like, does the church know you're living here? You know, and he said, yeah. And they called the pastor, and the pastor confirmed it and everything. And Steve said they told him, thank God that you became a Christian because we were getting tired of dealing with you. Steve said that whenever he became a Christian, he realized, you know, I can't sell drugs anymore. That seems like an obvious thing, right? But he was selling drugs for the mafia. I mean, like the mafia, right? Anybody that knows anything about the mafia knows that you don't usually get to say, you know, guys, I'm kind of done with this. I'll see you on, you know, the other side. That doesn't work. And Steve said he knew he had to quit selling drugs. But he was terrified to go tell his boss that he had to quit selling drugs. So he said he prayed, and he finally just said, you know what, if this is like my martyrdom, then I'm content with that. I'll be at peace with that. So he went and he met with the boss, and he told him, he said, listen, I've become a Christian and changed my life, and I can't sell drugs anymore. And he said he waited for, you know, the go take him, you know, and make him disappear order. And he said that this boss, this mafia boss, looked at him and he said, good for you, Steve. He said, you have my blessing to leave. And he was like, you know, is this a trick? Am I going to go out and crank my car up and it's going to blow up? Like, what, you know. He said he never heard from them again. Maybe St. Augustine didn't sell drugs for the mafia, but he did some bad stuff. And yet, as Paul tells us, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. That means all of us. All of us. The beauty of Christianity is that it's for all of us. Nobody gets, you know, a better place. Nobody has more favor with God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Christ died for all. So that in Christianity, there is no male nor female, there is no slave nor free, there is no us or them, but all are one in Christ. In a moment, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. And one of the things that makes the United Methodist Church somewhat unique, we're not the only ones that do this, but we're somewhat unique, is that our communion is available to all. All people are allowed to partake of Holy Communion in the United Methodist Church. The only requirement is that you love Jesus and strive with his help to follow him, and only you truly know if you do. So, you know, you don't go through a probationary period. If you show up here off the street on Communion Sunday, you can take communion. You know, it's... And the reason for that is because Methodists consider communion, yes, holy, but we consider it a way to break down the barriers that human beings set up. Communion is what Paul says here. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We come together in Christ because Christ has brought us together by his blood. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, remember that you're a new creation. Even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, you're a new creation. Will you fall? Yeah. Will you fail? Yeah. Will you say things you shouldn't? Yeah. Will you do things you shouldn't? Yeah. Will God still love you at the end of that? Absolutely. Because here's the thing. If Paul, who murdered Christians, if Peter, who denied Jesus, if St. Augustine, who was on the thing just a minute ago, if St. Augustine could be a hedonist, and Christ could still say, follow me. I guarantee you there's nothing in this world that any of us have done that Christ will not say to you, okay, I forgive you. Let's move on. Follow me. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you, follow Christ. And now prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. Amen. I hope that you were able to get one of your fancy communion all-in-one cups here from the table out there. Unfortunately, in these distancing times, we have to do communion in unique and interesting ways. So you will partake of communion at your seat if you haven't done this before with us. And everything else will be the same. You just will take it at your seat instead. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Let us partake at this time. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us be the body of and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Holy Communion, for the gift of unity, for all the things that we as human beings use to separate ourselves. We thank you that in Christ we are unified. May we remember that always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may we be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all those who you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.